Yesterday, we celebrated what was the first ever awards recommendation by the faculty of Blue Mountain College and the degree extension. They were careful in what they called it. It wasn't a graduation. Our students had already graduated, but for the first time, those students who finished their college education this past spring were recognized not only by their faculty and staff, but most importantly, by their family members who could come and share in it with them, who could hug those graduates and take pictures. And Blue Mountain College did a really good job of practicing social distancing among the various family members, but they made it clear that they wanted each graduate's family to be able to be with them, to even exit with them, to even break bread with them in their own isolated place on campus, because even that educational institution, even as it celebrates graduation and festive ceremonies, they understand the importance of family. We celebrated with Noah at that event, and then we had an event at my parents' home where friends and loved ones of Noah joined with us, because isn't that who we want with us, dear friends, when we celebrate? We want family. And what is a celebration without food, right? Food nourishes the soul. I heard someone say once, you can't break bread with an enemy for very long. One of two things will happen. You'll stop eating together, or you'll start becoming friends. There is healing and wholeness not only when we fill ourselves with nourishment, but also relationally when we break bread and fellowship with those we share affection with. Maybe that is why Jesus instituted this holy meal called the Lord's Supper, called Holy Communion, where we are nourished. We remember that Jesus Christ took his body, had it broken for us, had his blood poured out that our sins may be washed white as snow. But also, more than a reminder of Christ's sacrifice, it's a reminder of who we are. We are part of God's heavenly family. Now, friends, when we take a look at our scripture today, that statement is even more paramount in the history of our faith. You see, in the first century world that Jesus came and ministered to, they had what was known as purity laws, laws that separated certain sects, certain groups of people, distinguished the rank of people, men against women. Children were of no value. If you weren't of the chosen people, the Jewish faith, then you were seen as an outcast, impure to be in the holy sanctuary, and it would contaminate you if you came in contact with those outside of the faith. You see, that's the world our Lord Jesus came ministering to. Did you hear that as our text began today? He said, it's not the purifications. It's not what touches our bodies externally. He said, it's not even what goes into our body. But no, our faith is defined in what comes out of us. It's how we treat the other. Did you notice that he quoted the last five commandments when he said these are the things that determine a person's holiness? When we refuse to murder, to commit adultery, to steal, to bear false witness, to covet, all of those five commandments are relational commandments. They're commitments to us to live out God's love for those around us. You see, that's how we embrace our faith, Jesus said. It's not by living a bunch of legalistic do's and don'ts. You can do this. You can't do that if you're a person of faith, if you're representative of me. No, Jesus said you represent your life of faith by what comes out of you, the love inspired by the Father above. So we celebrate this message this day. And then we also transition into this complicating text where Jesus has this exchange with the Canaanite woman. We hear where on the surface it sounds that Jesus is very cold, very abrupt in his exchange with this person who is a foreigner. But once again, we must understand something about that culture that Jesus ministered to. You see, there was a complete separation between the Canaanite people and the Jewish people. Not only that, it was culturally unacceptable for a woman to even speak to a man in that culture. And as I said earlier, women were valued as less than property in that first century world, as well as children. So this is the dynamic that this Canaanite woman, who should not have been speaking to Jesus, walked up to him and asked him to bring healing to her child, who was in that culture of no value. Wow. Many scholars believe that as Jesus went into this dialogue, he was actually trying to save face for the woman. He was trying to explain to her, listen, you and I are of different sex. It's not right for me to take what belongs to the family and give it to the dogs. He was trying to give her an out, many scholars say, so that she would go on her way and not shame herself and her family anymore. But the woman was unwilling to go. You see, she had heard the stories of Jesus accepting others who were different. She'd heard the stories of Jesus practicing love, not just for his people, the Jewish faith, but for anyone, Jew, Gentile, male, female, regardless of class, location, race, or anything that might separate them. She'd heard the story that Jesus was one who was committed to uniting the faith through love. And it was her passion. It was her belief that Jesus did have love even for her child, that Jesus ultimately said, woman, go. Your faith has brought healing to your daughter. You see where our Lord, friends, in this story turned our faith upside down? Where our Lord Jesus Christ in this exchange, and as he walked on this earth, proclaimed that my love, salvation in heaven, is for all of creation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God or from one another as his blessed children. You know, in a few moments, we're going to celebrate Holy Communion. And the paraments that I'm going to use for that service, you'll see a lovely clay paten, a beautiful blue clay chalice. Those were made by an older gentleman who gifted me with those in the year 2000 in my very first pastorate. Not long after we received those gifts for Holy Communion, I broke the chalice. But Manya took that chalice and she glued it and she put it back together and it looked as good as new. No holes, a few cracks, but restoration to continue to serve the nourishment of the table. You see, that was so important to me, restoring that chalice because it had been a gift. Isn't that, dear friends, how we should view gifts? As something priceless? Something that we couldn't make our own? Something that we perhaps don't even deserve? Something unexpectedly given to us by someone who loves us. You see, friends, of all the imagery of the Lord's Supper, perhaps that's the one that we often overlook the most. We understand, as those who've grown up in the Christian faith, perhaps, the symbolism and the reminder of Christ's sacrifice in the table. We also hear the message that I spoke to you earlier as we gathered as a family on the college campus yesterday, that Holy Communion says to us, we are part of the heavenly family. But also, friends, may we never forget, through the imagery of me cherishing that gift of that communion set that was made for me, that Holy Communion, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, is a gift for you and for me, symbolic of how, as we receive a meal, our body is nourished, we're strengthened for the journey ahead. Almighty God comes to us with this gift of His love. And He says, I want to express my love for you. I want to proclaim my acceptance of you as a part of my family beyond what even words can say. For we are one in the table, just as we are one in the family. You know, family is holy. Our little Dotson Dash, he likes to know that he is part of our family. And periodically, one of our family members will begin a chorus of howling like a dog. Now, I would imitate that for y'all this morning, but my throat's a little dry today, so I'm going to save you my serenade. But as soon as one of our family members starts howling, Dash joins in. And then another family member will join in. And then we're all howling and singing together. And Dash, I am convinced, is proclaiming that, hey, I'm part of the pack. I'm part of the family. Not only is he proclaiming he's part of us, but he's celebrating that we are part of him. May we all celebrate with the fervor of an old, overgrown, overweight Dotson who celebrates his chorus to the highest heaven for being part of the family. May that be our celebration today as we receive this meal and the reminder of the promise that we all have been gifted by God's love to be part of His heavenly family. Let's celebrate that feast together now.